Okay, well, in Megillah Chesam and Beis, and being that a few weeks have passed since we saw this, we're going to start from the Mishnah again, and we'll review our introduction. In short, the Torah gives us a mitzvah of tzaras. There's tzaras on a person's body, some kind of white blemish appears, specific white. The Kohanim had a tradition which blemishes or which type of tzaras. Sometimes the hair turns white together with the blemish and the Kohen sees right away he's tameh. Sometimes the guy is white, he has a white blemish. It has to be the size approximately of a penny, kadasha. He has a white spot, but the hairs haven't turned white. It's not yet clear whether he is mukhlat or not. And then they lock him up for 7 days. And during those 7 days, he is tameh, and he gets sent out of the camp. But during those 7 days, our Mishnah says, "En ben metzora musgal lemetzora muchlat." There's no difference between the metzora who is musgal, closed off for 7 days, to the metzora who is already tameh, metzora muchlat. Ela piriya uprima. The only difference is, does he have to grow his hair long? The Metzorah who's already been decided, he's a Muflat, that Metzorah must grow his hair long and he must tear his garments like in Avil. He has to do Prima. So that is the only difference. Ein ben Tahol mitoch eskelet, Tahol mitoch echlet, and then when they become pure, could be after the 7 days, the Kohen looks at him and the blemish got smaller. He tells him, you're Tahol, you're free to go. Could be after he was outside the camp, he gets checked by the Kohen and the blemish disappeared. Kohen says, you're Tahol. What's the difference if he became Tahol from the 7 days or Tahol after he was completely Tameh? The only difference is, Ela Taglachat V'Tzipurim, that if he became Tahol after he was out of the camp, after he was completely Tameh, so then he must shave all of his hair, he must bring a sacrifice of a bird, he must send out one bird out on the field, there's a procession that must be done. Whereas if he became Tahol out of the procession of 7 days, after being locked 7 days, he does not have to shave all his hair, nor does he have to do the procession with the birds. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah that the only difference between a Metzora, a person who has Tzaras, who's Mizka, who is locked up, and a Metzora Mukhlat, the decided Metzora, we said the only difference is that the one who's been decided, who's completely defiled, he must grow his hair and tear his clothing. We understand from that. Halinyan shiluach, but with regard to being sent out of the camps, vitumah, and with regard to being defiled, zevzeh shavin, we understand that they're equal. They both have the same tumah, they both have to be kicked out of all the camps. Yes, David.
If we're saying they're equal, but we're saying that they don't have to have the same thing to do afterwards, after their tahol.
Right.
So, there's a difference. And it looks like it only has to do something with the time, when they got tamay, when they got locked up.
Okay. So we derive from psukim that...
So they must have a deeper meaning.
There's a deeper meaning, right? Even though technically they carry the same tumah, the one who was sent out of the camps requires a whole procession to become pure. The one who was not sent, the one who was only locked up out of the camps, he wasn't completely tameh. Even though, as far as their tumah, physically they caused the same tumah, but you see, right? The tumah must have had less of an impact. He does not need the procession when he becomes tahor. Minani Mili, questions the Gemara, where do we get this from? Ditani Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Kamed Rav Huna. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak taught the following braisa in front of Rav Huna. I don't know what that means, in front of. It says in the Pasuk, the Kohen comes at the conclusion of the 7 days, and he sees that the blemish got lighter, it did not spread. So the Pasuk says, V'tiharo HaKohen, the Kohen will declare him to be pure, mispachati. It is a simple blemish. It's not really. It is no longer tzaras. So he is tahor. V'chibes begadav v'taher. So the metzora must wash his clothing, which means He must go to mikveh, he must immerse his clothing in mikveh, and then he is tahor. So the Gemara understands the words vitaher to mean, and he was pure. So the Gemara understands, what does it mean he was pure? Tahor mipriyah uplimah demikara. He was pure all along from necessitating growing his hair long and tearing his garments. When we asked Minani Mili, we asked, where'd you get this from? That the Metzora who's locked up does not have to grow his hair long or tear his clothing. Answer, the Torah describes that at the end of being locked up, if the Kohen sees that the blemish got lighter, the Kohen tells him he's tahor, he must go to mikveh, and he was tahor. What does it mean, and he was tahor? Vitaher, and he was tahor. So he explained, what does the word tahor mean? Tahor means removal of something. Remember?
Yes.
We explained, tahor means removal of something. So over here, the word means he was always removed from these laws of growing his hair long and tearing his garments.
It goes against the Mishnah.
Why? Our Mishnah said that the difference between them is that the guy who was locked up does not require growing his hair long and tearing his garments. That's what we're saying now. The Pasuk says that this guy who was locked up was always pure from this point. He was always clean from this. Amar le Rava, Rava said to him, Ela me'ata, but now. What does it mean, but now? But now that you have taught us something, I have a question. Whenever you have the word me'ata, me'ata means now. It means now that you've said that, I have a question. So you always have to look back. What did he tell me that caused this question? Over here, it's very easy. He's telling him, you tell me that whenever it says in the Torah the word vitaher, the word vitaher indicates he was pure from before, past tense. So I'll bring you another pasuk that says the word vitaher. Tell me, how does that mean in the past tense? He was always pure from something. Yeah, ela me'ata, but now that you've taught me this concept, gabe zav, by a zav. You guys remember 3 weeks ago we described what's a zav. We went through all the details, laws of a zav. It's all online. By a zav, a guy who has this flow and he's tameh, the pasuk says, v'chibes v'gadav v'taher. He too says he will wash his clothing and he was tahor, he was pure. Over there, what are you going to tell me? What was he pure from originally? What purity was there initially? What was he clean from all along? Ela, but rather you have to explain over there that the word vitahel means taho hashta. He is pure now. He no longer makes earthenware vessels tamei and heset. You guys remember? We said, what's heset? Heset is that a zav can sit on a seesaw, the other side goes up, and it's tamei. We said a zav can blow, and when he causes something to move, even though he didn't touch it directly, it's tamei, because he caused it to move. That's heset. He bangs on the table, everything shakes on the table, everything becomes tamei. That's heset. Whatever he causes to move, he makes tamei.
We don't let him go near skyscrapers.
What?
We don't let him go near skyscrapers.
We keep him far away from us. Tamei, tamei. We say stay away. So, Rava says, how could you say the word vitahil means that he was pure all along? What are you going to do with the word vitaher by Azav? Over there you'll have to agree that it means that he is pure now from defiling earthenware vessels beheset, with movement. Now we're starting to get a little bit complex. Lo metame lemafrea. Okay, we have to go back to the laws of Zav, and then we'll explain this Gemara. Remember, what's a zav? A guy has some kind of weird flow. He's not hard, and he has some kind of flow that's similar to seminal discharge. Zav saw once, he's tamei. He goes to mikveh, he waits a day, tahor. Come sunset, he's tahor. Saw twice, wait 7 days. Then the 7 days, so let's say he saw Sunday, Monday, so now he's going to wait Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Okay? Sunday he could be tahor, right? So technically, what he could do is come Sunday morning, he could go to mikveh. He goes to mikveh Sunday morning. When sunset comes, he's pure. He doesn't have to wait for the conclusion of the 7 days to go to mikveh. Quite the contrary. He could go during the day, and then when sunset comes, he'll be completely pure. So this guy, he put on his copper cup. Remember, we said the Zav wears some kind of copper cup over his maleness to ensure that if something came out, he'll catch it. He'll know if he saw again or not. He's wearing it, and Tuesday, checks it, he's clean. Wednesday, he's clean. Thursday, he's clean. Friday, he's clean. Shabbos, he's clean. Come Sunday morning, he wakes up the Sikin, says, yeah, I can go back. No one has to stay away from me. I'm going to be clean. Goes to mikveh. He's still got to wear the cup till sunset. It's 5 minutes before sunset. He's faithful. He goes to the bathroom, takes off the cup. Uh-oh. Sees a little bit of ziva. He had a flow. Ah. Start from scratch again. Wait a second. I was in shul. After I went to mikveh this morning, I touched all the sidurim. I did hagba, shook everyone's hand. Do I have to go back and tell everyone their tummy? Good question, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, the Torah permits him to toil in the morning. On the other hand, if he's going to see before sunset, he starts from scratch. He needs another 7 days.
So was he tummy? Did he tummy all those things that he touched?
So, tells us the Gemara, that when the Pasuk says, Vitaher, and he was tahor, what the Pasuk is teaching me is that, and from the moment he goes to mikveh, he is tahor from being mitame beheset, meaning anything you move, he banged on a bunch of tables, everything shook. All that is tahor. Even if he will still see tonight, even if he'll still see before sunset, he'll restart his count, he's tame again. But the tevila helped him in the 7 days, the beginning of the seventh day, helped him that at least he's to hold from Hesed after he went to mikveh. Now, the idea here is, technically, ordinarily, an earthenware vessel cannot become tameh unless you put tumah in its airspace. Or you put it in an airspace that's completely tameh. You put it in a tent where there's a dead person. The only one who can make an earthenware vessel tameh is a zav. Because a zav doesn't make tameh through airspace. A zav can make something tameh by moving it. So the zav has extraordinary stringencies. If you have a sealed earthenware vessel, you could put that right next to the dead. You could touch it to the dead. It won't be tamei. Yeah? Because it's sealed. And earthenware vessels only get tamei from their airspace. The only one who can make that vessel tamei is the zav. So the Torah taught me over here that the zav has an extraordinary stringency with regard to his tumah. Namely, that he can make an earthenware vessel tameh simply by moving it, by causing it to move. That's extraordinary. We don't find anything else that has that level of tumah, even the dead. Now, comes the Torah and tells me that there's one area where the zav, if he went to mikveh, even if he'll become tameh again before nightfall, he's not completely tameh. So if we take the zav, we have a pillar of impurities. If we look at all the laws of the zav, we're just going to knock off the top of the pillar. We're going to say, okay, you understand what I'm saying? If I have to choose a leniency, so I'll take the smallest leniency. What do I do? I say, okay, I'll take off a drop. I'll take off just a drop off his stringency. So what's the top? What's the pinnacle of the Zav's Tuma? The top of the Zav's Tuma is this extremity that he could even make a Kli Cheres Tamei by moving it. So we say, you know what? You went to Mikveh in the morning, you're not as Tamei as you were before. Even if you'll see before nightfall, we say you went to Mikveh, it did something, so at least you won't be Mitamei the earthenware vessels that you moved. By simply moving them, you won't have that extreme tuma. You're tamei because you know your mikveh didn't really work. So you do have other aspects of tuma. But with regard to tuma teset for a kli cheres, we'll take off that level of stringency. This is a rule in derivations.
During the time between the mikveh and the time that you saw.
Correct.
Well, what about the other things? What about the other things you touched?
It would seem that his tuma of touching. Mm-hmm. And all his other tumot, those are not alleviated. We only alleviate the extremity. Rashi himself is in doubt. Rashi's uncertain how far we take this. So Rashi says he thinks that this is the idea. Rashi proves it from Psukim. I added a logical twist to it. Rashi says from the Psukim we have an indication that the Zav only loses this capacity to be metame beziva a kli cheres, to be metame kli cheres behesed.
Wow.
Rashi it derives it from psukim.
So basically the zav has to act as if he still has the zav.
100%. So much so that the rabbis saw that the zavim are getting carried away. The rabbis made a rabbinic decree, no doing tefillah on the seventh day. Gotta wait another day. Because the Zav says, hey, I didn't see him till now, I'm okay. Doesn't work that way. Right. He runs to mikveh in the morning, figures everything's going to be okay, don't worry. So the rabbi said, no doom it. Right. We have a special rabbinic decree. Everyone likes to believe everything's going to be okay. Okay, back to our Gemara. So, Rava had questioned, if you use the word v'taher to indicate that he was pure all along, v'taher, you're going to understand this past tense. He was pure from something. All along, Adam, Shalom Aleichem. How with me are you?
I'm there.
Okay, so Rava said, what are you going to do with the word v'taher that's written by a Zav? Ella, but what you have to explain is that the word v'taher teaches me tahor hashta, that he is pure from now on, from the minute the Zav goes to mikvah on the seventh day, from that moment you explain it means he is tahor militamei klei cheres beset, from defiling earthenware vessels by moving them, afalgav de hadar chazi, even though he will see again, hadar is again, review, again, he will repeat. Repeatedly see, lo mitamei lemafrea. He does not defile things retroactively. Lemafrea means retroactively. So if you agree that the word vitaher means he is tahor from now on, by Azov, hachanami, then here too, by the mitzora where it says, the word vitaher. Let's apply it to mean tahor hashta, that he, this mitzora who was locked up, when he goes to mikvah, he is tahor now. Militamei bivyah lemafreya, from defiling things in biyah, by coming into the house, lemafreya. So now we have to explain what we're talking about here. A person who has tzaras, if he goes into a room everything in that room becomes tame. If he's standing under a tree, and other people come and stand under the tree with him, they all become tame. If you put clothing, if you put any vessels under the tree with him, they all become tame. So, in order for a mitzora to become completely tahor, he must go to mikvah. And then, then he's tahor. He also... okay, now... let's say the mitzora was locked up for 7 days, and the kohen came and saw him and saw that his tzaras had diminished. So the kohen says, "You can be tor. You're tor from now on." Sends him to mikvah. He goes to mikvah, dunks with his clothing, dunks his clothing, comes back out, and goes to visit his mom. "Hi, mom, I'm all better. It's so good to be back." He sits down. She says, "Honey, let me make you supper." She starts making supper. He looks at his arm. He says, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." He's come back. Runs back to the kohen. The kohen says, "You're right. It's spread. Tame." Wait a second. From when? From when is he tame? Just like the zav. Is he tame retroactively? Ordinarily, we say a person is not tameh until the kohen declares him tameh. But here, he had something that made him tameh, that caused him to be locked up. The kohen said it's better, he went to mikvah. Came out of mikvah, a few hours later, it spread again. Now it's dark white, and it spread. He runs back to the kohen looks at it and says, "Tameh, is that a fresh tumah, or is it tameh retroactively?" So says Rava, just like by the Zav, you use the word Vitaher to indicate that he is Tahar now after going to Mikvah, even if he'll see before nightfall, you won't give him all the weight of Tumah retroactively. By the same token, by the Mitzora, don't tell me that the word Vitaher means and he was pure all along from being required to grow his hair long and tear his clothing. No! What Vitar means is when he goes to mikvah, he will be Tahor now. Vitar doesn't mean past tense, it means now. Now he is Tahor. And even if the Tzaras will spread later, I will not be Mitame. I won't say that he is Tame retroactively to defile every home he entered ever since he came out of the mikvah. Say that the Vitar means now that he goes into the mikvah. Don't say the Vitar means past tense like you derived. Say the Vitar means now. Now this Gemara needs a lot of work because it seems that Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak quoted a Braisa and Rava questions it and gives another understanding to the Pasuk. Now, what's Rava doing? Arguing with a Braisa? You know, the simple reading of the Gemara, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amed Rav Huna. He quoted a brisa in front of Rav Huna. So what's Rava? Rava says, "Well, how are you going to work that out here? Doesn't work, so I bet you over there it means different." How does Rava do that? So that requires work. Okay, back to the Gemara. Gentlemen, you've hit me so far. Okay, Adam. Moshe's going to explain to you. I'm listening. You want me to explain it again?
I can try. I think that's a good idea. Okay, so what the question is we're trying to prove that there's a difference. So we're trying to learn out from the word v'tohar. Okay? And our braita teaches us that v'tohar means, in the case of a tzaras, that once he has the mikvah, and once he has been, and he had his 7 days when he was inside, when he was locked up away, and he comes out, the Torah comes to tell us that from the beginning, he was tahor. In reality, he was never tameh. That's what the language of the Torah is going to teach us.
That's what Shmuel raised
us. Let's just explain it a drop better. Okay. I mean, it's good. I just want to add a point. Mm-hmm. We began with the question, how do you know that a guy that's locked up, a Metzora Musgar, is not required to grow his hair long and tear his clothing? We said, when it describes the Metzora Musgar, the guy who was not fully Tzaras, he just got locked up for 7 days to see what happens with his blemish, it says, if he's found to be pure, he goes to mikvah, vitaher. We said that word vitaher indicates that from the beginning, he was pure. Okay. Doesn't mean pure. Really, he was tamei. We said he's tamei. It means he was pure from... He wasn't required to shave his hair, to grow his hair and cut his clothes. Vitaher means he's removed from something. Not that he's pure.
Rava had a different understanding.
Rava said, if you're going to say the word vitaher means retroactively, he was removed from something all along, what are you going to do by the zav? By the zav, it also says, he goes to mikvah vitaher. What do you do with it there? Over there you say from the moment he goes to mikvah, he's pure. You don't say vitaher means all along he was removed from some laws of Zav. You say if he went to mikvah in the morning, and he'll see again in the afternoon, from now till then, from now, vitaher, you take the mean from now,
meaning.
Not initially from the beginning of the 7 days. You say from now. So by the Metzora, also say that the word vitaher means from now, now that he dunks. And then what does it mean, Moshe? If Vitar by Metzora means now that he dunks.
Now that he dunks. It means that the case, or that's talking about the case of Zav.
Metzora.
If talking about now that he dunks, then what Vitar is coming to teach us that now at the time from the time that he dunked and the time that he rediscovered that he has Zaras, in that time he was pure or had at least less restrictions.
Excellent. So then Betar means now that he dunks. Doesn't mean back then from the beginning. And so now we're back to our original question. So how do you in fact know that a Metzora Musgar, a Metzora who has been locked up, is not required to grow his hair long and tear his garments? We're back to our question. Says the Gemara. Ela. What does the word Ela mean?
Rather or but.
And what's the indication? Nix. What you said? Right. Starting Ela always means I'm nixing something, saying something else. So here it's obvious what we're nixing. We're nixing Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's answer. Ela, but I'm going to give you a different answer. Amar Rava Mehacha. You guys are becoming pros. Black belts in Talmud. Amar Rava Mehacha. Rava said... The source for this din is from here, from this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Tehatzorua asher bo hanega." The one who has tzaras, hatzorua, the man who has tzaras, asher bo hanega, who has the blemish. Bigodav yufirumim, his clothes must be torn. Viroshoye forua. I'm adding the pasuk just so we know what the Gemara is going to say about it. The pasuk describes this man who has tzaras. He has the blemish. His clothing must be torn. He must let his hair grow long. And he has to cover down his hat, cover down almost till his lips, wear his turban like the Arabs do, cover himself up. You barely see anything but his eyes, and he wears his hat low. And he's got to always call out, I'm tame, stay away, I'm tame. Imagine the sight. The guy doesn't take a haircut for years. He's got hair coming down from all over. He's got his clothes are in tatters. He's torn. He's covered himself all the way. He's wearing like the Arabs. Everything's but his eyes is covered up. And he calls out, tame, stay away. Pretty scary sight. So that's the description of the pasuk. This is what a Metzora must do. Now, we are trying to derive, where do we know that a guy who is only a musgar, only closed up, is not required to tear his clothing or grow his hair? So we're quoting the pasuk that describes that obligation. And we say, the pasuk says,
v'hatz. How long does this thing last?
Could be a lifetime.
Unless you get purified.
Could be a lifetime. There were people who had it for life. If a person does tshuva, he gets cured. The Rambam says, this is a miraculous disease. We quoted the Rambam. Two mitzvot in the Torah, right? The Rambam said, two mitzvot in the Torah that are miraculous. Right? What were the two mitzvot?
Sota
and Tzaras. Okay. So Rava says, you want to know where we derive this din from? How do we know that a person who is a Mitzora Musga, he has Tzaras and he's locked up, how do we know that he is not required to tear his clothing or grow his hair long? So let's look at the Pasuk that teaches the obligation. The Pasuk says, that Tzarua Shobo Anaga, the Anega, the Mitzora, who has the blemish. So we understand the Pasuk to be teaching us the following. Specifically, a Mitzora whose purity is contingent on the blemish. Mi she'tzara'ato teluya begufo. Specifically, the person whose tzaras is contingent on his body must tear his clothing and grow his hair. Yatsa, to the exclusion of ze, this one, the guy who's locked up, she'en tzara'ato teluya begufo, that his tzaras, his blemish, is not contingent on his body, but rather ela beyamim, but rather it is contingent on days. Because let's say nothing changes, everything remains status quo at the end of the 7 days, he will be maybe locked up for another 7 days, but ultimately he will be let go, he will be released. If nothing changes, if everything remains status quo, he will be released. A person who has tzaras, once he's been decided, once he's a mukhlat, it's closed, then he needs to have an improvement. Things have to get better for him to become tahor. That's hatzawah, the mitzora, asher bo'anega, that the blemish is within him, and that's what we're waiting for, the blemish to change. But the musgar, the person who has tzaraz, who's locked up, I'm not waiting for his blemish to change, even if it stays status quo. So long as it doesn't get worse, he will become pure. So when the Torah describes who must grow their hair long, who must tear their clothing, the Torah describes a mitzora, a shebonega, that the blemish is in him, that the whole issue is his blemish. Yeah, again. Okay.
Where's
the musgar? Right. By him, he doesn't need the blemish to improve. Even if just days pass and nothing changes, he will become pure. Omar le Abaye, Sorava's good friend, his relative too, Nachmani, Abaye. I know they're relatives because they're both Kohanim descendants of Eli HaKohen. So Abaye said to Rava, Ela Me'ata. What does Ela Me'ata tell me?
From now.
But now, meaning what? But according to what you just taught me, I have a question. Ela Me'ata always means, based upon what you said, I have a question. The pasuk describes, Kol Yemei Asher Hanega Bo Yitma. So long as the blemish is in him, he'll be tameh. If you say that whenever it says bo hanega, hanega bo, the blemish is in him, that's an indication that only the mitzora who's contingent on the blemish has this din. So what about the pasuk that describes the mitzora's tumah? We said that the two type of mitzoraim, both of them, be it if he's locked up or he's been decided on, both of them have the same tumah, correct? And yet when the pasuk describes the tumah, the pasuk also uses those code words. It says, asher hanega bo yitma. He who has the blemish in him, why don't we say over there also, mishetzaratot luya begofo, only he whose tzaras is contingent on his body, hu diton shiluah, only he must be sent out of the camp. And the mitzora whose blemish is not contingent on his body, who's that? That's the musgar, because if his body stays consistent, just the passing of days will purify him. Maybe he will not be required to be sent out of the camp. Maybe he'll tell me, yeah, you're right. But the Mishnah says the only difference between them is growing the hair and tearing the clothing. We understood that to indicate that with regard to being sent out of the camp and to defiling when they enter the a house or whatever, they're equal. So what do you do with the fact that it says only the guy who has a negabo, the blemish in him, the same code you used there, why don't you use it here to say that a musgar does not get kicked out of the camp? If you're saying that whenever it says negabo, that is an indication that it is a mitzora muchlat. So why don't you say that with regard to being kicked out of the camp? Clear? Good, explain it to Adam. Unless Adam wants to explain it to you.
Okay, so our next proof.
Guys, I have to tell you. In the afternoon, I give Daf Yomi Shir. The guys in the Daf Yomi Shir complain that they find themselves dozing off and not focusing, that I should do this to them. They said. So I'm doing to you what they asked me to do to them, but I noticed that it helps all of them, so I hope it'll help you guys too. Makes sense, yeah? So tomorrow you're going to do the explaining.
I don't have a beamer tomorrow. You're also sweating.
Joseph Sherholz. Okay. We'll talk about that after class. Go ahead, explain, Moshe.
Share bone nagel. In the Torah, so share bone nagel. Okay. Nagel meaning the actual...
The Torah says bohanega, the blemish is in him.
In him, on his body, meaning on his body.
Not related to the days.
Exactly, it's on his body.
His purity is contingent on his body, not to the days that pass.
It's a mahlat. So this is really mahlat and maskur.
So we say that's a mukhlat. That's a guy who's been...
This is a mukhlat, which is really dependent on his body. Okay, rather than... But a musgar?
Musgar.
But a musgar is depending on the days. And because our pasuk, our pasuk, Dafka says, nega, which is depending on our body, it's Dafka talking about the mufla. Okay? It's depending on his body. Okay?
What are we trying? You always have to ask yourself, what's my question before you describe what's my answer? You jumped into the answer, Moshe, let's go back to the question. What's our question?
What are we trying to prove? We're trying to prove why a muskar is different and does not have to shave his head and let his hair grow long and cut his teeth.
Excellent. Boy, he could give the best. Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to prove.
100%, yes.
Okay, we're trying to learn out from this pasuk. This is the doctor, the one who has to take off, that grows hair and cut his and tear his clothes, is the one who has a nega. And a nega is talking about a doctor with the body. Okay.
You bit him.
Yeah.
Okay. And only a mukhlat is depending on the body. Uh-huh.
Right, because a musgar, if he only waits and nothing changes, the mere fact that days pass automatically makes him tahor. Right, musgar means from sagur, closed off.
He's just closed off. Okay, so this is a proof that teaches us that only the mukhlat, okay, has to let his hair grow out and grow his body and tear his clothes.
So that's how Rava explains how we know that only a musgar is responsible for growing the hair and tearing the clothing. Kri'a and pirima.
Okay. We're also the same lashon.
So Abaye asks Rava.
Abaye asks Rava. We have the same language in the requirement of going out of the camp, correct?
Leaving the camp.
So, if we use our previous logic, where nega is referring to the body,
bo nega,
inside, okay, inside the patch, okay, it's talking about the body, and thus it's only talking about the mukla, nechon, and thus it excludes the muskas, nechon. So when we have this lashon, bo nega, is teaching us that. So how about this case when we're sending him outside of the camp? We can also preuse the same logic to say that thus the muskar doesn't need to be sent out of the camp either.
Is this consistent with the Mishnah?
And that's not. That's not consistent with the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said the only difference between them is regarding the hair and tearing the clothing. We understood that to indicate that they both get kicked out of the camp. So if the logic is that's the derivation, well, why don't you apply that derivation to being kicked out of the camp? You explained beautifully. You see, he understood you. He didn't understand me. Adam, yeah? Are we all together? New York telephone. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So Abaye asked a bomb question against Rava. He said, if you're going to say that negabo means only a mukhlat, then why don't you say that about being kicked out of the camp, where it also says negabo, and yet you say they both must be kicked out of the camp? Omar Lay. So Rava said back to Abaye, tell you what, you're right, but I have another derivation to tell me that the musgar also gets kicked out of the camp. Technically, you're right. If it would only say boanega, I would say only the mukhlat, only the guy who's been decided, only he gets kicked out of the camp. But it says, all the days that he has this blemish, he will be defiled and he will stay out of the camp. Why does it say, it doesn't just say yimei, but rather it says kol yimei, all the days that he has the blemish, he will be out of the camp. Why does it add the word kol? Lerabot mitzora musgar leshiluach. That's a ribui, that's an extra word that's coming to encompass the Mitzora Musgar, that he too must be kicked out of the camp.
So the word kol?
The word kol. Yeah.
But now it's back to being consistent.
So it is consistent, right. Right, he's saying technically Boanega means the way I said. Over there too it would mean the way I said, but I have another word that indicates otherwise. Now, really over here, I don't know of any way of learning the text the way it's written here. I think we have to learn it the way that goes Habach, the way the Bach modifies the text. Then really the Gemara is just focusing on the last words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ein Bein Tahor, we just skipped to the next line. Ein Bein Tahor, you guys have that? So you just go to the next line. Ein Bein Tahor mitoch eskeleto mitoch echlet ela taglachat v'tzipurim. There's no difference if a person became pure out of being locked out, being locked up for 7 days, or he became pure after being completely tameh. The only difference is whether he gets shaven and he has to bring the birds. So Amar Abaye, we said, what's the source for that? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Amar Ka, the pasuk says, Ve'yatza kohen in michutz l'machane. The kohen goes out of the camp and he sees ve'inin hirfane gatzarat, and he sees that the blemish got healed. You understand that to mean mi she'tzaratot tluya b'refuato. Who does the kohen go out to do the procession for? For the guy whose tzaras must be healed in order for him to become pure. Yatzazeh she'en tzaratot tluya b'refuato ela b'yamim, to the exclusion of the mitzora who was locked up, where he becomes pure after days pass, even if he does not become healed, so long as he remains consistent, the mere fact that the days passed and it didn't get worse makes him to hope. So that's the derivation, that the nirpane gatzaras, who does the kohen do the procession of the birds for? Who does the kohen shave? only the guy who requires a healing. And the guy who's locked up doesn't require a healing. If he remains consistent for 7 days straight, or 14 days straight, he will be released even if he wasn't healed. He'll still be tahor. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion. This was slightly difficult Gemara only because we don't know the derivations. There's a certain the concepts are new to us. That's it. We basically finished the difficult Gemara. The rest is relatively easy, this tractate. You guys will see. A little bit new concepts, but everything else, that's it. We made it. There's a certain question that should have bothered you about the Gemara here, but being that's the first time you learned it, you can't be all over, so it didn't bother you yet.
I have a question. I don't think it's this one. It's the one that Rav speaks about.
But if when you review it, you have a question, the derivations did not end up clean, meaning there should be a problem with the derivations the way we explain them, a logical problem, meaning there's a when you review it, if something bothers you, give me a call, then we'll worry about it. But for now, the way we explained it, I think, is the best way to understand this Gemara for this stage of learning. Bezrat Hashem, we will be back, and I hope we will continue learning. And this isn't the last time we're learning this, so to be continued, right? Yes, sir, I'm with you.
No, I was going to ask, how does Kol Yemei...